Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
410 on WTMJ. I hope that you're having a fantastic day. I want to tell you about something that was devastating for a mother. A fire took the lives of her three young children in the father of her child's Kenosha apartment. Their 10-year-old Riley, 9-year-old Connor, they're both pronounced dead at the scene, and 8-year-old Alina Cannon. This all happened on Thanksgiving Day. Now, Alina Cannon died the very next day after being flown to the hospital from that fire. Here's a children's mother speaking to Channel 12 over the weekend.
I couldn't process what I was hearing on the phone. They were just my whole world, and they were literally the brightest things that I've ever had in my life. They were 17 months apart, so they were so close with each other.
The cause is still under investigation, and officials say the father survived. He was treated for smoke inhalation. Kenosha firefighters say when they got to the scene, the entire apartment was completely engulfed in flames, and a friend of the children's mother started a GoFundMe. They've raised about $50,000 so far to support her through this loss and funeral, saying Connor, Riley, and Alina were such bright lights in this world. They were joyful, loving, full of personality, loved to sing to music. No parent should ever have to bury their children, let alone three at once. Here's the mother on Channel 12.
Instead of Christmas shopping, it's casket shopping.
Wow, that is tough.
That soundbite is probably one of the worst I've heard.
It pierces your heart.
Instead of Christmas shopping? Oh my goodness.
That's really, really a terrible, tragic, awful story.
So we'll stay on top of that because the cause is still under investigation.
Yeah.
The father survived. So people are wondering what exactly happened, what sparked this fire.
What a terrible, terrible situation. Hey, coming up, we're done at 5:30 because of Bucks basketball, but we've got a lot to come your way before then. Rose Gray, tomorrow is Travel Tuesday. It's kind of a new shopping thing. I'm excited about this, actually. Travel Tuesday deals. Rose is with us at 4:45. Telly Hughes, award-winning journalist, talks about the word of the year. We'll tell you what the word of the year is coming up in a little bit. And up next is Green and Gold Insiders with Packers legend Brian Bulaga.
He wore the jersey. He lived the battles in the trenches. And now he's breaking it all down with his championship insight.
This is what it feels like to be one of the big dogs in the NFL. There's a lot of mental toughness that comes along with that. Boost your ego a little bit.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold with today's insider.
Brian Bulaga, Iowa.
On Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Green and Gold Insiders is sponsored by Window Nation. Hello, Brian.
How are we doing?
Good. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. What did the family do for Thanksgiving? How many people were there? What was the best food? Take us inside the Bulaga Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we keep it pretty low-key for Thanksgiving. We normally have everyone down for Christmas. That's normally the big holiday for us. So it was just, myself, my wife, two kids, and my mother-in-law who lives down here now. And best thing is probably the turkey. You know, we do a really good job that's on the Traeger. That stays, so that's low and slow. And that normally turns out really good every year. So that's normally the hit. And then obviously my wife does a great job with the pumpkin pie. She's got that recipe down.
Oh, I love that.
Those are probably always the two highlights every Thanksgiving. And then obviously, you know, the game was the whipped cream on top of everything. If we had to be honest, you know, that was the topper. That was the finisher.
Where are you down south?
I'm in Sarasota.
Ooh.
Oh,
nice.
That's nice.
That's really
What's
fun.
The temperature there right now?
Oh,
you know, it's a little bit warmer today. It's like 84 today.
Oh, I hate you.
Yeah. It's a little bit warmer today. You know, we were getting really good temperatures. It was in the low 70s. It was really good for this time of year. Now it's kind of heated back up a little bit.
That's terrible. 84. I don't know how you deal with that.
Oh,
I'm not
going to
complain. I heard you talking about the temperature over there right before I got on, and I'm not jealous. I'll put it that way. I'm not jealous of the temps you're getting. I'll say that.
The game against the Bears this weekend is supposed to be super cold too, Brian.
Yeah.
That's Sounds normal. That sounds normal. That's normally how those games, that's how those games are supposed to be. They're supposed to be cold. They're supposed to hurt. That's the point of the black and blue division, right? That's the NFC North. That's how these games are supposed to be played, right? Like, it's supposed to be outside in the elements, equal playing ground, right? I mean, everything's equal and mano a mano, right? Like, this is what it's supposed to be, you know, cold weather, Packers, Bears, both teams, right? I mean, how Chicago's gotten there, you know, people can say what they want. They're top of the division. They're the number one seed right now in the NFC. And the Packers are right behind them, right? Packers win this game, they essentially bump right ahead of them. And that's the way that this is going. This is how you want this rivalry to be when they're at the top of their game. And this is how this thing's supposed to play out. So I'm very excited for it, as should all the fans. This is what Packers Bears is supposed to be.
Brian Bulaga is with us on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Who's a better football team right now, do you believe, the Packers or the Bears?
You know, I haven't watched the Bears a bunch. I got to watch them, you know, on Black Friday against the Eagles. And to be honest, like, I don't know what to make of the Eagles right now. And that's the thing. Like, you know, I watched them against the Packers, the Eagles, and they didn't look very good, you know, against the Packers. And obviously Green Bay didn't play a very clean game that game either. But the Eagles didn't look very good that game. And I watched them against the Bears, and they didn't really look that good against the Bears. And the Bears played well, right? Let's give them credit. The Bears played well, and they look solid. They look good defensively and things like that, which is normally a staple for Chicago. Normally they're a very good team defensively, and they look like they're doing that again right now. But I think overall Green Bay's a better team. I think they're a better team from all three phases, and I think that's the way I'm kind of looking at this. And I don't like to look at, like, who's got, you know, who has better wins and losses. Like, I think that's bad to look at, because I think a lot of Chicago fans are saying, well, you lost to Cleveland and Carolina. Well, guess what? Carolina's pretty good, it's turning out to be, right? So let's pump the brakes on the Carolina loss, because it turns out that they're winning games against who we thought was the best team in the NFC, which is the Rams. So it turns out that Green Bay has some pretty good, you know, wins on their resume, and so does Chicago, right? They beat Philly in Philly. So I don't want to say they're equally matched, but their records are what they are, right? I mean, it looks like they're very equally matched on paper, but I think Green Bay is a better football team overall. And I think, I'm hoping, when it comes down to it, right, I think our defense gives us the edge at the end of the day.
Brian, take me into what it's like being a Green Bay Packer and playing against the Bears from the media perspective, from the franchise perspective, the fan base, like the Bears fans, how they react to you. Can you tell me what it's like to play against the Bears?
Yeah, well, you know, fortunately, I kind of got a really good perspective on this rivalry, because I grew up in a suburb of Chicago. So it was always really fun for me to play this game. Whenever I went to Chicago, I heard a lot of nice, colorful words from Chicago fans, specifically towards me being a Chicago kid or a suburb of Chicago kid. I always really enjoyed it, right? I thought the rivalry was special. Unfortunately, right, it went a certain way towards probably my third year in my career, where we didn't really lose. We won every game, and home and away, right? My first year was the most special year, when, you know, they were very good when we met them in the NFC Championship game. But there's a lot of history behind this one. And even when they weren't playing well and we were beating them every game, the game was very physical. It was very intense. You could feel that, and, you know, kind of that old school toughness in that game, right? You could sense that they didn't like us, and you had to take their best shot every single game, no matter what their record was. And to me, that's why I'm very excited to watch this rendition of this game when they're finally 9-3, right? They're 9-3. They're feeling very good about themselves. They're at the top of the mountain right now in the NFC and the NFC North. So this should be a special one. And playing in this game, you know, this is the oldest rivalry in football. You should feel very honored to play in it. And now that this thing has a little more meaning to it, the guys in that locker room in Green Bay right now, they should, you know, cherish this one, because this game hasn't meant a whole lot in a long time, to be honest. It just hasn't. Like, I mean, it means a lot. You're playing in the oldest rivalry, but the stakes haven't been that high. Let's just call it that. The stakes haven't been that high since really my rookie year.
Yep.
In an NFC championship game. This game, right, this one and the one in 2 weeks, this one means a lot. So buckle in. This one's going to be fun, and so will the one in 2 weeks, because this game, these next two mean a lot, and it's going to determine a lot. Who's gonna win this division comes down to these couple games, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, let's go. 9-3. They're about to be 9-4. That's all I got to say. Right. Super Bowl champion Brian Bulaga. Always great perspective. Thank you, Brian.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Have you heard what the word of the year is from the Oxford Dictionary?
It's different than parasocial, which was something else.
The word of the year is rage bait. Rage bait. It's shorthand for online content that's intentionally meant to elicit anger. The term has tripled in usage over the last year. It's when someone posts something like Aaron Rodgers, let's go with our guy currently. When Jordan Love throws an interception and someone might post, that guy should be traded immediately, he's the worst quarterback in the history of the league. They post something just trying to elicit anger and frustration and get clicks. Okay, that is rage bait. I had never heard this word.
What?
I really
hadn't.
No, I'm behind the times.
When I saw the word, I thought that you guys were going to talk about examples of that. It's so known, especially with politics.
Yeah, I never heard this word, but the word makes sense, and it's definitely a thing. You see people posting all sorts of craziness. Here's my biggest question. It's the word of the year, but it's two words. Can rage bait be the word of the year? It should be the words of the year. Do you ever do this? You're very careful on social media. Do you ever post something just to elicit a reaction?
When I was in television for, you know, to get people to click on it, yeah.
Clickbait.
Okay, so there's one time in Wausau, there was a woman who was, she was eventually convicted of murder. Her last name was Penguin, okay? And the description was that she was 350 pounds. So the web person, I said, we are searching for a 350-pound penguin.
Oh, my gosh.
So it ended up getting a lot of clicks.
So other words of the year that were finalists, other finalists for words of the year. There were three finalists, rage bait won. Here's another one. This was one of the other finalists. Aura farming, A-U-R-A, so aura farming. The cultivation of an impressive, attractive, or charismatic persona or public image by behaving or presenting oneself in a way intended to convey an air of confidence, coolness, or mystique. So cultivating the impression amongst other people that you're cool, that you're calm, that you've got
royals.
Something really special.
The royals would be like that.
Ooh, the royals. Aura farming. Okay. Here's another one that was the finalist. Biohack. To attempt to improve or optimize one's physical or mental performance, health, longevity, or well-being by altering one's diet, exercise, routine, or lifestyle, or by using other means such as drugs, supplements, or technological devices to try to take the shortcut. So you don't want to work out. You don't want to limit your drinking. You don't want to eat right all the time. Instead, you employ a biohack, a drug, a supplement, a shortcut, basically, to getting the body you want without putting the work in.
Never works.
No, it doesn't work in the long term, right? So you mentioned parasocial. That was who came up with that? Was it Cambridge Dictionary?
I think so. Yeah, it's kind of like where you feel that you're really close to someone, like a politician.
Dictionary.com, their word of the year is 6-7.
Oh, God. Ugh. I'm so over that.
Popularly used by Gen Alpha. I've never said Gen Alpha on the air before.
Gen A, yeah.
It means, what does it mean? It means like either so-so or maybe this, maybe that, right? So that was Dictionary.com's word of the year.
I'm on vacation every single day, every happy every single day.
Rose Gray, Fox World Travel. You hear Rose on the travel show Saturdays at 9 a.m. I always try to make sure that I catch it. Rose, it's so good to have you here in the studio.
Thank you. And before we get into Travel Tuesday, I want to remind the listeners, I'm going to be at Trivia Wednesday night.
Yes!
Yes! Oh,
We're so excited.
So Mary Lee gave me the dates and said, which ones do you want to go to? And I said, John and Julia, of course. So, yeah, so I will be there, toys in hand, and I will be at your service, and I can be on a team, or I can just float around and visit with people. So
it's
really
fun.
Yeah.
Give some of the trivia questions.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Help us give some of the trivia questions.
Perfect.
It's going to be so fun. We're so glad you're going to be there, Rose.
Yeah, I will be there.
So it's Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Left's Lucky Town.
The,
so
day after, the day after Travel Tuesday.
Yeah. So is this a new thing, or is this just gaining steam a little bit each year? Tell us about Travel Tuesday.
Yeah, I think it's just gaining steam. So the website Hopper, that's one of the many, many websites you can use to look at airfare, Kayak and Expedia, and Hopper has really, really come to the fore. And they coined that phrase in 2017, and then everybody kind of grasped onto it because the travel industry didn't necessarily want to be part of Cyber Monday, although there are Cyber Monday deals as well.
Yeah.
But I think looking for that alliteration and calling it Travel Tuesday, it just made perfect sense. So cruise lines, tour companies, and airlines are now notoriously discounting things on that day. So if you go to the Fox World Travel website, foxworldtravel.com, and you have at the very homepage, you have three different opportunities there: business travel, meetings and incentives, and of course the sexy side, which is vacation travel.
Yes.
If you click that, you'll see Cyber Monday deals, but it also says and Travel Tuesday sales.
Okay.
And so the reason I direct the listeners to that particular page is because I was looking for days, and I sent you and Julia some links where they were just spouting off like $800 off. And I thought, is this real? And then I go to our website, Princess Cruises, up to $800 off. So yes, if Fox is promoting it, it is legit. But I loved that you had a securities person on in the last segment, because this is what they love to do on these Travel Tuesday sites. They put timers on them. And so what do you feel then? Pressure. And so now I've got to make a decision right now. And those timers are usually, can be fraudulent. That's not when the deal ends, but they know when you clicked on and they want to give you some sense of urgency and you're going to make a rash decision on something that's completely non-refundable.
Oof, that's
so
not good.
So there are deals to be had everywhere if you know where to look and you're smart and you do your research. On Travel Tuesday, are there better deals than if I were to wait and look a week from Tuesday?
Probably. I mean, what we see is historically, that is what's happening on that Travel Tuesday. Now, there could be three deals at that price, or that the limited offer is really and truly only until noon on Travel Tuesday or something like that. So it's good because we're listening now on Cyber Monday. Do some preliminary research. See what it is right now so that you can compare. And it's probably better to have some kind of idea of what you want to do. I mean, if you're just randomly looking, we have 20 deals on our website, 20 tour companies and cruise lines that are offering deals. That's too many. Well, I could take a Viking River cruiser. Wait, maybe I'll go on African travel. But wait, Royal Caribbean looks good.
Yeah.
Have something in mind that you want to do so you're not all over the board.
Well, that's good. And there was something that you sent to us. It says nearly three times as many trips were planned on Travel Tuesday, which is incredible. And European travel companies are trying to get in on this.
That's exactly right. And so here's the thing. There's been this idea for a long time, and I do know that the airline industry people and consultants and things that we've spoken to are saying that this is a myth, but it has been a perception for a long time that Tuesday is the best day to buy airfare anyway, that that's when the airlines load the new fares, and that's when the airlines will look at their yield management and maybe reassess how many seats they're going to sell at that very lowest, second lowest, third lowest price. And so again, they're capitalizing on that idea that the Americans have been groomed to believe, and that is that Tuesday is the best day to buy travel.
Mm.
I know this is a very broad question, but if you're a family and you're trying to plan something for the summer, what are some basic areas of the world that you would begin to look at, or even in America? What would be kind of at the top if you don't want to break the bank. You're not independently wealthy, but you want to do something nice for your family. That's
well,
fun.
Well, and if you're an adventurer, I would say national parks. National parks gained so much steam during COVID, and that trend has continued and continued. We want to do something with a family. We want to do something in the United States, and we want to do something that is something that is a little bit of a give back. You're at a national park. You're feeling a little patriotic about that whole kind of a trip. The other thing that you can do is look for what they call volunteerism opportunities and do that as a family.
Oh.
Lots of times these are often in the Caribbean or Mexico or something like that.
Yeah.
So summer's off season, but this is when they want you to come down there and paint or do plumbing or do electrical. You don't have to do it the entire time, but one full day of really giving back. So those are very, very prevalent. And again, if you're doing it as a family, it makes you kind of feel as a commitment that we all got together and we did something to give back.
I like that idea.
John.
I have friends that went to Panama, and they went to Panama for 5 days. And I think two of the days they volunteered. Yep. They worked. And the other 3 days they enjoyed the beaches and they toured the canal and they did all that stuff.
Exactly. And I know many churches and philanthropic nonprofits do these things, but you're sleeping in a church floor and you're, you know, that kind of thing. I want to give back, but I also am a little bougie. So can we work something out here?
I want to have a vacation.
Exactly.
We can do both, can't we?
Exactly.
Let's do a little bit of both.
Right, so once we get back to the bougie, a lot of people are saying to be aware of resort fees.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is, and it's everywhere. Las Vegas was the one that really started this, and now everybody's got them. And you'd like to say to these people, could you possibly give me a breakdown? Itemize what this resort fee is. And they'll say things like a newspaper in the morning that never did get delivered, or you have a concierge service. Where is this mysterious concierge? And he did nothing or she did nothing for me. So you can ask to break it down. Now, some people have written about the fact that they've gotten them to the resort to take it off when they said, I didn't get any of these services, but that's in the past. I have not found anybody that has had success getting the resort fees off.
Interesting.
So you see the base price of your hotel room or your resort room, and then it can be anywhere from $35 to $100 per day, and sometimes per person per day. So what are these resort fees for, and how can we avoid them?
That was me on my honeymoon in Hawaii. I don't know why they did it. I thought it was for some conservation thing, but it probably wasn't.
Yeah.
It probably was for that newspaper I didn't get,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, exactly. That extra roll at breakfast.
Exactly.
How healthy is the cruise industry?
Booming. I think 14 new ships are coming out in 2026.
Wow.
Yeah. So you would have thought maybe COVID did that particular part of the travel industry in, but quite honestly, just the opposite. I think people are seeing the value of a cruise. They love that whole concept of other than maybe excursions, because everybody buys a drink package now. I mean, that's the in new thing.
Yep.
Back in the day, you used to get your bill and go, I actually drank this much.
Yep.
But now you can buy a drink package. So there's no surprise there. And so other than that, your excursions are really all that you're paying for. And you can eat unlimitedly. I mean, it's...
And the food's better on some of the cruise lines than it used to be, too.
Absolutely. They know that they've got to up their game. So, yeah. And one of the new ships that just came out is on one of your favorite lines, the Star. The Princess Star just came out. And so that, everybody's all about that one. So lots going on in the cruise industry. Celebrities got some really nice Travel Tuesday deals. Royal Caribbean's got some really nice Travel Tuesday deals.
What do we think about non-refundable fares?
It scares me.
Me too.
And then if you add on the insurance, we're better off just upgrading to the next level of non-refundability and what's covered in that insurance. Can I just cancel for any reason, or do I really need to have a covered reason? And most of the time people are canceling for covered reasons, an illness or a death in the family or a job situation or something like that. But it's really, really important to get the details. And this, again, is why you work with a travel professional. Ask the questions and then let them give you the answers. Why should you take hours and hours and hours of your time to read into these travel insurance policies or the non-refundability of this great trip that you just found and you're all excited about it? Let somebody tell you what's going on with that.
Let Fox World Travel help you. They've helped me plan stuff in the past. They're absolutely incredible experts in every area of the world, every sector of the travel industry. Start at the website, the Fox World Travel website.
Yeah, that's the best place to go, really, because among the other things, some of the time when you go to these deals, it'll put you onto our cruise booking engine, and we laugh because there's over 26,000 itineraries with over 53,000 sailings. But once you put in the filters and you put in the qualifiers, I want to be gone 7 days, I want to do the Caribbean, I want to sail out of Fort Lauderdale, that number shrinks exponentially, and you can start really, really honing in. But there again, narrow it down to three and call the experts and let them help you choose.
I like that. Rose Gray, you can check her out on Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTMJ. Rose, this is so much fun. I got to get out of here and get ready for all the shopping I'm going to do tomorrow on Travel Tuesday.
Perfect. All right. We'll see everybody on Wednesday at Left Lucky Town.
Left Lucky Town.